Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to 1 John chapter 4. Tonight we're going to have a second part, a continuation of last Friday's message. In verse 17, the Word of God says, "Herein is our love made perfect." This tells me something. This tells me that there is a perfect love and then there is an imperfect love. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, the day of judgment, we have mentioned this before, the day of judgment on the one hand is at the Bema Seat of Christ. On the other hand, the Bema Seat of Christ is happening here and now. In other words, my rewards, the things that I will be evaluated on, are happening here and now. When I actually arrive at the Bema Seat, I will stand before God alone, and He will reveal to me the things that I have gathered, if you will, the rewards that are coming to me from the things that took place in my life. So the day of judgment is both a boldness now and a boldness later. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. What is it to hate someone? It's that I don't love them. People frequently will say, "I love you," but they hate. When they reject the nature of love, when there is no patience and no kindness, that is hate. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God who he has not seen? And this commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God love his brother also. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. In our lives, in our relationships with people, no matter what type of relationship it is, we are commanded by the Savior, love one another. If I fear, I will not love. Now, there is a reciprocity here. Love casts out fear, but likewise fear casts out love. So I either live in love or I live in fear. Now, Satan has a plan for the believer, every bit as much as God has a plan for the believer. Satan's plan for the believer comes through a process, just like God's plan for the believer comes through a process. And Satan's plan for the believer is to eliminate love from the believer's life without the believer actually realizing it. Because if Satan can eliminate love from the believer's life, and I don't mean love like the world thinks of it, I don't mean romance for anyone listening on the internet. That's not love. That may, in the context of a marriage, be one expression of love. But that is not love. I'm talking about the Corinthians 13 love that starts with a mental attitude and results in an action. That is cast out when there is fear. If there is fear, patience or kindness will be missing. Now, let's take a look at how this works. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God has made." And folks, when it says he is subtle, that's exactly what it means. He is subtle and crafty. The serpent is more subtle than any other beast of the field. The serpent will most definitely blindside. He will go up behind you and he will pull you out. He'll take the rug out from under your feet. But you'll never see it coming. And he'll do it through things that seem good to you for a season. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said?" Did God really say this? "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam, and he said unto him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." This is how fear works. Fear is not the natural state of things. Fear is a corrupted state of things. Satan comes after God has given definition, after God brings something into your life, after you are walking in a call, after whatever it may be, Satan comes and he asks you a question. Now, questions don't seem to be a big problem to the average person, but you have to discern where the question is coming from. Because if the question is coming from the wrong source, then you will be engaged with the wrong kingdom. And so Satan asked her a question. And he asked her a question that she knew the answer to. Did God say this? And she said, "Yes, he did." That right there was the mistake. You see, she didn't recognize the subtlety of the enemy to bring a question regarding what God has done, what God has said, what God has called. So he brings a question. Did God say this? That's a bad question. At that point, Eve should have rebuked the serpent. She should have said, "The Lord rebuke you." But she didn't. She answered the question. And in answering the enemy, she became engaged by the enemy. And now there was an exchange going on. And he was still the pleasant serpent. He still looked like a friend. But he was no friend at all. He was leading her very craftily down a very brutal path. But she had no clue. He said unto the woman, "Hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you will not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now at this point, because she was already in a fellowship with the wrong kingdom, she was still in her ears answering correctly, but it was not a correct answer. The word of God was already being a bit twisted, even though she was still trying, although engaged now under a different kingdom, she was still trying to stay right with God. And the serpent said to the woman, and here it comes, you shall not surely die. In other words, the serpent told her, what God told you is not so. And he does this to believers. He'll bring believers into a place where they start to question the things of God, where they start to question the call of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the character of God. They start to question what God has done in their lives. They'll start to question things like the finished work or mercy. They'll start to use reasoning from their own minds that is not of God. And they start to twist, although they're still trying to stay right with God. And then he says, it's not true. It won't happen the way God said. The most terrifying thought, as Paul said, is that the word should not be true. Didn't Paul say, if this is not so, if the word of God is not true, then we are of all men the most miserable? Satan said, it's not true. What God did is not right. What God said is not so. The promises of God are no good. Prayer doesn't hold. The character of God is not reliable. The faithfulness of God is not sure. It's not true. For God knows that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You see, it's not only not true, but God lied to you, Eve. The things of God, the call of God, the ways of God, those things that God is doing in your life, they're not only not true, but they're a deception to you. And the deception is to keep you away from something that you desire, isn't it? After all, it's only your desire. What's wrong with that, Eve? Why wouldn't God want you to have that? Isn't this what happens? So not only now did he say God lied, but he said God can't be trusted. When he attacked God's character, he attacked the essence of love. Because first and foremost, God is love. And so in a backward, subtle kind of a way, God's character was attacked. And it didn't come on and say, God doesn't love, but that's the attack. The attack was not just on the facts. The attack was not just on Eve. The attack was not just on God's faithfulness. The attack was an attack on the love of God. When God's love is attacked, His character is attacked. When God's character is attacked, God's love is attacked. When God's love was attacked, Eve did something she had never done before. She started to make decisions on the basis of want and fear. She was afraid that something was going to be withheld from her. She was afraid that something negative was going to happen to her. And so she started to decide on the basis of want and fear. Never make your decisions on the basis of want and fear. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. There are two opposites. There is the love of God, and there is fear. The two never coexist. There is the love of God, and there is fear. And either I will have the love of God, or I will have fear. And if I have the love of God, I will have no fear. But if I have fear, I won't have the love of God. And so Eve made a decision on the basis of want and fear. And her fear was that things would not go as she wanted. And so she ate and she pursued, but she didn't pursue out of the character of God. She made a decision that was unbelievably destructive. And the decision was not based on the love of God. It was not based on faith. It was not based on trusting God's character. It was based on the exact opposite. The decision she made, she pursued, but it was entirely based on something apart from God, want and fear. If you start making relationship decisions, or any kind of decisions, really, but the love of God is most commonly expressed person to person, and it does not have to be a relationship that is within marriage. It can be a relationship with anybody. We are to love one another. If you start making your decisions in relationships on the basis of fear, two things will happen. You will push away those things that are of God, and you will draw near to those things that are not of God. That's exactly what Eve did. Eve pushed away that which God had given, that which He had said, that the parameters, the definition He had given. She pushed it away, the things that were of God, the purity, Eden, righteousness, sweet fellowship with the Savior every single day. She pushed it away because she was afraid, and in her fear she wanted. And she drew near to the very thing that eliminated God from her life. We are the same. We do that. How often does someone become afraid and they withhold? How often does someone become afraid and they withdraw? How often does someone become afraid and they fail to love unconditionally and without reservation? You know who does that? The enemy does. He did it to Eve, and he tries to do it to us. The enemy does that. And the woman saw, when there is fear, natural reasoning takes over. And when there is fear, and we said this last week, where there is fear, the Word of God is applied to the intellect, but not mixed with faith. And so, when there is fear, natural reasoning takes over. What do I see? What do I know? What do I hear? Let me evaluate. Let me consider. Forgetting the character of God. And I start to evaluate by sight. And on the basis of that fear, and on the basis of that sight, I start to make decisions. I got news for you. It will always be a destructive decision in one way or another. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and she did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened. Self-consciousness comes in now. What happens when I start walking by sight because of fear? I become self-conscious. That means I'm no longer walking in faith, but when I am self-conscious, I become horizontally conscious. My soul starts taking over, and my soul is then in a fellowship or an exchange on a horizontal level with people and with the world system and with the enemy. Instead of being God conscious so that I live in the human spirit, whereby the human spirit is receiving from the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit is imparting life through the human spirit to the human soul, instead the soul is fellowshipping with the death of the world system, with the death of the enemy's kingdom, with the death of natural reasoning. And in that self-consciousness, my fear grows. And I become so fearful that I withdraw. And I'm withdrawing from the very provision, from the very thing that God has given for my life. And I withdraw from it. And I hide myself. And first I try to put on fig leaves. I try to make a good show of it, but keep God, keep God's people, keep God's plan, keep the things of God at arm's length. But then, I kind of hide myself because the fear is constantly growing and I refuse to yield in faith to the things of God because I'm living in a self-conscious orientation, and that orientation is making me look at the world by sight and making me look at circumstances by sight and making me look at people by sight. And I no longer have divine understanding. And I no longer enjoy the things of God. And I no longer can appreciate the provisions of God because I'm very self-conscious and afraid. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. And they hid themselves. They walked away. How many people walk away for fear? It looks this way, it sounds this way, it seems this way, I don't get it. There's your fear. And in self-consciousness, they walk away from the things of God. And all too frequently, they never return. They were robbed. Fear is a thief. It robs the things of God. It robs the ways of God and the provisions of God. It robs the people of God. It's a thief. Never make your choices on the basis of fear. If you do, you lose. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Because perfect love casts out fear. Why did God go after them? Because perfect love will pursue. You see, albeit they hid themselves, love did not go away. Love went after them. And they made a devastating mistake. But love went after them. And love challenged them. And love exposed to them only their mistake, so that they could turn from it. love will always go after you. Now, I'm not saying it harasses. I'm saying it doesn't quit. Love doesn't seek its own. It seeks your benefit. Love doesn't puff itself up. It looks to build you up. Love doesn't vaunt itself. It edifies. Love isn't jealous. Love is giving. Love isn't possessive. Love is liberating. Love is patient. And it will suffer very long with you. Because it will transform the heart. Love doesn't know how to withdraw. Love only knows how to be poured out. And it will not quit. It will not go away. Love can be wounded, but it doesn't die. There is no fear in love. Let me ask you something. What fear is there when you're face to face with patience and kindness? Where is your fear? If you're face to face with patience and kindness, the source of fear is a lie. And only when I believe a lie can I then start to fear. Just like Eve. You see, the kicker to the whole thing? Eve never did become as the angels. She wasn't made that way. And Satan will tell you all kinds of things. And he'll try to establish them in fear. But he's lying. He is absolutely lying. That's the only way that he can get you to do something. He is lying. The problem that Eve had is she believed him. And so she became afraid. And she believed him against God. She believed him against all the things he had given her. She received a tremendous gift. And instead she chose to believe a lie. The only way that was going to happen was to eliminate love. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Fear casts out perfect love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And isn't that exactly why people are afraid? Because they are afraid of some form of torment. The only problem is the person that fears has not been perfected in love. Now, you can defend yourself just like Eve did. You can protect yourself. Or you can love people. If you choose to protect yourself, you might not get so hurt. But you won't love people. But if you're going to choose to love people, you're going to run the risk of getting hurt. Now, the one has fear. The other does not. If a man say, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? Do you love God? Be honest. Do you love God? He loves you. Do you love God? Have you ever considered that it's important to be patient and kind and suffer long with God? Do you love God? Have you ever considered in the way things are presented, in the way God does things? Have you ever considered in the call or in the plan that you need to be patient and kind and suffer long with God? You will have to suffer long. It's called the trial of your faith. Is your response toward God kind when you are suffering long? Or are you angry and resentful toward Him? If you are, He still loves you. He will still be patient and kind toward you. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the Word of God says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. There are three things that come together. There is a spirit of fear. That was the spirit that spoke to Eve. That spirit is not from God. But there is a spirit that gives power and love and a sound mind. And that is the Holy Spirit. God had not given us the spirit which is contrary to the character of God. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and the sound mind. The three come together. A person who fears but does not love is a person who does not have a sound mind. This is one of the reasons why they try to do things like take doctrine and apply it to the intellect rather than simply mixing faith with what they hear. Because they are afraid. And since they are afraid, they are engaged in defense mechanisms. And the defense mechanism says, I have to evaluate by sight because I am afraid. And so I am evaluating by sight, but in order to evaluate by sight to the best of my ability, I need information. And so they take information from the Word of God because they recognize the authority of the Word of God, albeit not the reliability of the Word of God. They recognize the authority of the Word of God and they take it into their intellect. And now with their natural mind, they try to think with the supernatural Word. And a schism arises. The Word says one thing, but they're not capable of experiencing it. And there's your schism. And it becomes a very difficult place to be, knowing that you ought to be able, but never being able to achieve. And the reason is because they're not operating in the power of a sound mind through love. Love produces a sound mind. It is not a sound mind that fears. Fear is not the natural order of things. Fear is when something else comes onto the throne of my heart. It is not a sound mind. The love of God and the assurance that comes with the love of God, that no matter what state I'm in, He loves me just as I am. That He'll be patient and kind toward me just as I am. That He still seeks my benefit just as I am, although maybe I'm a wicked little sinner, maybe my life is a total train wreck, He still loves me just as I am. When I finally start to believe that He actually does love me just as I am, I'm no longer afraid. Because what is there to be afraid of when God loves me just as I am. I fail, but God loves me just as I am. I do well, and God loves me just as I am. I get tired, I get confused, I get frustrated, I get angry. God loves me just as I am. I managed to hold it together today. God loves me just as I am. One day I'm anxious, the next day I'm not. God loves me the same on both days. When I start to understand the fact that no matter what happens, God loves me just as I am, I develop a very sound mind. The sound mind is the mind that will not sin. You see, when Eve failed, it was out of fear, and in her fear, she lost a sound mind and she failed. In the sound mind of love, a person doesn't sin, because they're experiencing, expressing, and being essentially a conduit for the nature and character of God. And so sin does not take place in love. Only in fear. And when I love and I know that I am loved, then I can trust His words, and I can trust His promises, and I can trust prayer, and I trust His faithfulness, because I know He loves me, and so He will be faithful to me. I trust Him because of love. If I don't know love, I will not trust. If I know love, trust is not a problem. A new commandment I give to you, John 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. A new commandment, love one another. Jesus said, this I tell you, and this I came to tell you. He gave only the one commandment. Love each other. And love each other exactly the way that I loved you. Love each other. In purity and truth. In righteousness and holiness. In edification. In mercy and kindness. Love each other. This is my commandment. And if you are my disciple, you will not fear. He didn't say fear each other. He said love each other. By this, men will know you are my disciples. If you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loved Judas. He sat at the table and ate with him. He allowed him to dip his bread into the bowl at the same time as Jesus did. He loved him. And even though he was a crook, he allowed him to keep the money purse, because he was not willing to deal with him according to a failure. He loved him. Love each other. This is my commandment. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. How many people cannot express the love of God? How stunted are you that you should not be able to express that which is the most natural thing to express? Is the love of God. This is what we were created for. Yet there are so many people, and they give themselves all kinds of excuses that say, I cannot express the love of God. Do you think that is the natural order of things? When God says, be kindly affectioned one toward another, and it's not talking about anything nasty. That's talking have a holy and pure, rich expression of God's character, of God's heart towards one another. He said, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Do you in honor prefer another? In other words, if they say something, do you say, okay. Or do you see it as your place to elevate yourself against another person, whereby you are critical or harsh towards them, whereby you feel like you must constantly correct them, because after all, you have reached perfection. And you can understand all their little intricate flaws, Almighty One. Do you know what God calls that? Devilish. He calls it devilish. Wisdom from below is devilish. Does it edify? Does it build? Is it according to God's mind and God's heart? Is it lovely? Is it pure? Is it good? Or is it devilish? Where it causes strife and unease. Where it wounds and does not build. What's the source? Did you love? Or did you fear? Be kindly affection one to another, preferring one another. You know what's amazing to me? In this culture, we've corrupted the holy and proper expression of what God is, what love is. Do you know what's amazing to me? In John 13:25, John put his head on Jesus' breast. How strange would that be in today's culture? To show that kind of kindness, that kind of compassion, that kind of love, that kind of affection for his Savior. He put his head on Jesus' breast. What would today's culture do with that? So isn't that kind of strange? No. It's the natural order of things. What did Jesus do? Did he rebuke him and say, get away from me? Did he move away? Did he back off? Did he withdraw? No. He let it stay. Why? Love one another as I have loved you. There was no fear in that. No self-consciousness in that. Self-consciousness stems out of fear. And it's a wicked circle. It's a vicious circle. You get self-consciousness, you get fear. You get fear, you get self-consciousness. And it simply multiplies. If you get hit with fear through self-consciousness, cast it away from you as quickly as you can. I'm not talking about impurity. I'm not talking about carnality. I'm talking about the purity of love, where one person, a young man, 19 years old, put his head on his Savior's breast. Patient and kind. Love one another as I have loved you. If I love, then I'll believe. Because faith works by love. If I love, I'll believe. Galatians 5:6. And in Hebrews 11:23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months from his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. If I love, I'm not afraid of what the king might say, and I'm not afraid of what the king might do. If I love, I'm not afraid what people say or what people do. If I love, I care about one thing. Be patient and kind. I care about one thing, edify and build. I care about one thing, the benefit of the other and not of myself. That's love. But it's not something that comes from a natural man or my natural reasoning. It's something that comes because I have received it from God. Here in His love. Not that we love God, but because He first loves us. And my expression of the love of God is not to God, but to another person. Isn't that what the Word of God says? It's to another person. If I say that I love, but I hate my brother, I'm a liar. Because the love of God is not something that I send back to God. The love of God is something that I send to you. See, as you have done unto the least of these, Jesus said, you've done it unto me. The one who loves God loves the person. If they don't love the person, it's because they don't love God. The one that loves God is not afraid to love the person for fear of misunderstanding, for fear of persecution, for fear of something else. That is fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Now I'm going to say something that might strike you as a little bit strange, but it is true. Perfect love causes perfect, not imperfect, perfect fear. The problem Eve had is that she had an imperfect fear. The problem with fear that casts out love is it is an imperfect fear. What do I mean by that? In Revelation 3:19, the Word of God says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." And in Psalm 111 verse 10, the Word of God says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." You know what the crazy thing is? That which I love with a perfect love, I fear with a perfect fear. I receive the love of God because I fear God. I reverence God. That which you fear, you worship. That which you worship, you'll receive from. And so in order to receive perfect love, I first must have a perfect fear. But it's not the fear that has torment. It's a fear that does not want to go contrary to the ways of God. It's a fear that is afraid to abandon God. It's a fear that is afraid to abandon nature and the character of God, the Word of God, the promises of God, the faithfulness of God, the kindness of God. It's a fear that clings to the Savior and to the ways that He has initiated in my life. You see, I'm not afraid to walk with God. I'm afraid to walk apart from Him. I'm not afraid to love. I'm afraid to not love. I'm not afraid to take a step of faith. I'm afraid to lose faith. Because that's where genuine loss only can take place. I can never lose in a step of faith. I can never win without it. A perfect fear toward a perfect God results in perfect love being shed abroad in my heart. And knowing how to love, because I have been loved. This is what it means to be a disciple. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. He praise endures forever. In Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. How many people are afraid to be corrected? Fear. Fear of the wrong thing. Perfect fear won't be afraid to be corrected. But an imperfect fear based on my thinking is desperately afraid. Perfect fear draws near to a perfect God. You will worship what you fear. What do you fear? Don't fear anything but God. Do you ever notice how these people who are kidnapped and they are so terrorized, how they become very faithful and loyal to their kidnapper? Why? Because they are afraid. They are terrified. And so they become very loyal to their kidnapper. Don't be afraid of a person. Don't be afraid what people say or think or do. Fear God. And you'll be very loyal to Him. But if I fear anything else, and that's exactly what Satan did. You see, he made Eve afraid, but of the wrong thing. She should have been afraid of God, fear of the Lord. But she lost her fear of the Lord and became afraid of the wrong thing. When I am fearful, then what I have done in truth is lost fear of the Lord. And I enter into an imperfect fear. You see, there is a perfect love that stems from a perfect fear. And it's a perfect fear that will not want to cross God, but that will want to cling to Him and hold true to Him, not because He will torment me, but because I am afraid of the consequence if I don't. Not because He will be cruel to me, but the world will be cruel to me. Let me ask you something. In your fears in life, was the thing you feared, the person you feared, what you feared, was it kind? Or was there torment involved? The projection that you received that caused you to be afraid, was it kind? Or was there torment involved? Imperfect fear. Perfect love casts out imperfect fear. The perfect fear of the Lord will leave me available to receive the perfect love of God that will cast out the imperfect fear. In 2 Samuel 1:10, the perfect love of God, the perfect fear of God, will not allow me to sin. It's only when I enter into imperfect fear, thinking that I am protecting myself, will I enter into sin. You see, you may not realize as you enter into fear in a self-defense mechanism that you've actually sinned. How is it that you have actually sinned? Because in Romans 13:10, the Word of God says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. And in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. When I fear and I withdraw from love, I'm actually entering into the essence of sin. I'm doing the exact opposite of what I was hoping for, to protect myself. And in truth, I'm walking right into a minefield that is a very dangerous place to be, because that's where sin is found. Perfect love will not want sin. Perfect love has a fear of the Lord. And because there is a fear of the Lord, there is the beginning of wisdom. Where I receive from God and I believe Him. That comes from fear, perfect fear. I receive from God and I believe Him. And because I believe Him, I believe that He loves me. And I believe He's faithful to me. And I believe His promises. And I believe that He answers prayer. And I believe the things He has said. And I believe that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And I believe all the things that He has said to me. I believe that faithful is He who's called you who will also do it. I believe that He will not suffer His children begging for bread. I believe that if He said it, He will make it good. I believe Him. Because of fear. And because of love. There is a perfect love. And there is a perfect fear. Only when perfect fear is done away with, and perfect love leaves shortly after, does imperfect fear come in and causes me to make wrong decisions. In 2 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 10, there was a man who came to David after Saul had died. And he said, I am an Amalekite, and that is a picture of the flesh, of the old sin nature. I'm of the old sin nature. And he said that he slew Saul. You know, he lied. He didn't slay Saul. He lied. But he said that he slew Saul because he wanted favor. Why did he say? He was afraid and he had want. He made a wrong decision because of fear and want. And so the Word of God says, so I stood up upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his arms, and have brought them hither to my Lord. I brought them to you, David. Why? Because I'm afraid. And because I want. And then continuing in verse 14, and David said unto him, how is it that you are not afraid to stretch forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? He was afraid of the wrong thing. And so he went into the wrong thing. He should have been afraid to touch the Lord's anointed. How afraid are people to touch the Lord's anointed? Not too afraid all too often. They will say things to another believer that ought never to be spoken. They will be unkind. They will be negative. They will be critical. They will be judgmental toward another believer. They are touching the Lord's anointed. They look at the believer and they evaluate his motives or the way that he does things. They walk according to sight and not by faith. They consider failure instead of considering finished work. They are not afraid to touch the Lord's anointed. And David said, how is it that you are not afraid to touch the Lord's anointed? David was speaking with the heart of God there. And David called one of his young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he killed him that he died. He smote him, he killed him, and he died. And David said to him, your blood be on your own head. Your blood be on your head. For your mouth has testified against you, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. When I fear the wrong thing, I don't fear God. Do you understand that? If you fear the wrong thing, you won't fear God. And because you stop fearing God, wisdom has departed. Wise words, wise actions, wise choices, wise decisions have departed because of fear. in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 29, "For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning of the away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Perfect fear that produces perfect love, that casts away imperfect fear, that casts away love. Imperfect fear will always cast away love. Imperfect fear is any fear other than the fear of God. The fear of man is a snare. If I fear you, I'm in a snare. If I fear what people think of my call or my life, I'm in a snare. If I fear how I walk before God, I'm in a snare. But if I fear God, I have perfect freedom to receive the love of God. And there is no snare, because the love of God casts out imperfect fear. Amen.